It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Will Parkinson NFL on YouTube. Also Badlands on YouTube as well. Zach Wilson is finally traded. This day has been coming for about since the second start he ever made for the Jets when he threw four picks against the Patriots. It's draft week. It's finally here. Talk a little draft buzz at the end. We're just going to recap a little Zach Wilson. Talk a little draft, and then obviously as the week goes on, there'll be content on the feed every day. Paul Kilgallen. Paul, how are you doing today? How you feeling? Zach Wilson getting traded to Denver, which kind of felt like it became more and more of a realistic option.
Yeah, I'm relieved. I'm just relieved it's over. I mean, we've been through this now, like this pretty much exact timeline twice in the last 5 years. And with the first time with Sam, I was sad that it was over because I was like, man, we gave up and I felt like it was mostly our fault. And this situation feels different. This one doesn't feel like it's all our fault. This one feels like everybody has some responsibility. And maybe you could even argue that like more of the responsibility is on the player than the organization. And so I don't feel the same way this time that I felt last time. I'm like relieved. And somebody sent in the group chat, like, you know, a tweet from a Denver beat reporter that we have seen that tweet 5,000 times in the last 2 years, which was essentially like, I wonder how much of Zach's problem is that Greg Knapp passed away. And so, and the comment in the thread was essentially like, this isn't our problem anymore. And I'm just to that point, like, I'm just glad it's over. Like, thank God we can just move forward from this and see what happens next.
Yeah. Look, I think there'll be time to do a full diatribe during June when, you know, me and a bunch of people can get on here and we can talk for 4 hours about, you know, segment by segment, you know, what went wrong, what happened, all these different things. At the end of the day, I was a huge trade back and keep Sam for one more year. Yep. Guy. I don't want to say I was right, but I'm not going to say I was wrong.
Hey, man, look, take the victory lap, right?
Because yeah, I like to say I'm right. Like, I think this Sam Darnold with the Jets last year probably would make the playoffs. But again, that part's irrelevant. I think, you know, look, it was during COVID, you know, it's kind of been over a million times, but look, the scouting process that year was different. The combine was different. Senior Bowl was different. The actual game schedule was different. No crowds, all these different things. There were so many signs of Zach that it could be good and so many signs that it also was going to be an abject disaster. And we saw pretty much all the abject disaster play out pretty much every Sunday for the last 3 years. And, you know, I think early on, you could blame some things around coaching, and you mentioned the passing of Greg Knapp, and that's something that's always come up. And did the Jets do right by Zach in terms of the offense and playing him right away and no veteran and no competition? All these things, I think, are fair arguments, and the talent around him wasn't always great. The offensive line had a bunch of injuries and struggled. All those things are fair, and if that's how you feel, I guess I get it. Statistically and honestly, eye test-wise, the stats actually, I don't even think do it justice just how bad he pretty much was, pretty much quarter over quarter, play over play, game over game as a Jet. And yeah, it ends on a high against the Texans, if you want to count that. And then the concussion game, whatever you make of that situation, which again, would love to really know what happened there, because having a wrist injury and then randomly having a concussion was just a bit of an odd situation. All that said, the actual parameters of the trade, funny enough, I posted my final mock draft this morning and I pretty much had the exact parameters of what the trade was going to be. It's basically Zach Wilson and the Broncos. The Broncos are a mess right now. They're in a situation where their head coach has ultimate job security. The ownership is very new. new renovations to the stadium, new jerseys. This year, they kind of knew the next 2 years, really, but this year specifically, weren't bad enough to have a top three pick, but it traded so much draft capital for both Russell Wilson and Peyton, $85 million, I believe, their dead money with Russell Wilson. It did make a lot of sense. Once Arizona became not an option, I thought Denver was the next best option for Zach. Close to home. We know the Jets have played up in Denver every year, and it feels like there's always a huge Jets contingent of fans that were Zach Wilson guys. The Jets get to split the money and split the bonus, which is huge. I thought it was either they'd have to eat all the money or they'd get, or they'd have to give up even more than they gave up. They end up moving up in around six and saving $2.5 million, which, as Connor correctly pointed out, was Solomon Thomas's average salary. So we will see him again. Solomon Thomas will be back, I'm sure, by any means necessary next year. What do you make of the actual return and timing? I think Meeks pointed out in Discord, Slack, whatever it may be, that pretty much a year ago, I think it was the 24th, but the same Monday of the week of the draft, the Jets got the Rodgers trade done. Seems like this had to happen. This was this or day three of the draft, otherwise he was getting cut. What do you make of the return? Saving some money? Like, what do you make of that situation?
Yeah, well, I think getting anything back is a win. So, like, however meager it is, going from 7 to 6 and splitting, $5 million, however meager it may feel like for somebody that you invested a second overall pick in, it's something. And the conversation the last several months has been, can we get anything, right? And a lot of people were thinking that this was headed toward a cut scenario because you can't go into camp with him. You really couldn't even really go into the draft with him. Unless you were going to swing a draft day trade. And so the sooner he got away, the better. So I think just by virtue of finding a partner, you're already kind of in the win column there. And all along, like, the other half of that conversation was, it's either a cut scenario or there's a coach out there who's cocky enough to think he can fix him. And that's a short list of coaches. There's like 3 or 4 of those guys. I won't mention them all by name, but Sean Payton is obviously one of them. And so now Zach goes to a place with a much different coaching style than anything he's ever faced before. I'm not sure he's ever been coached, right? For real coached by an offensive mind. And so, like, it definitely didn't happen at BYU and high school and before, like, who knows? And so, and let's put aside our personal feelings about Zach for a second, because I certainly was guilty during his time here of, like, just kind of defaulting to, like, that's our guy. So I'm going to look for positives. I'm going to isolate a single play and I'm going to try to find something positive in it so that I could talk myself into, like, maybe we're headed towards something good here. So I'm guilty of that. All in all, like I said, I never felt about him the way I felt about Sam. So I was never really, like, fully in, but I wanted to be in. But, like, let's put those personal feelings aside for a second and just say, let's say in theory, that the people who have been defending him for a couple of years now are right, that there is something there with Sean Payton. Like, we're going to find it. He's either going to make the guy something or he's going to completely break him down and he'll be out of the league in a year or two, because, like, that's not going to be a gentle coaching style that he sees in Denver out there. So, like I said, he's either going to break him down to nothing and then build him up to a reasonable NFL quarterback, or the guy's gone and he's done for. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But as far as the return, like, dude, we got something. So, yeah.
Look, they moved up. They got, they moved up in the round six with one of their second last pick of the draft, and they saved $2.5 million. I would be, and again, I'm sure I'll, and maybe I'll be wrong, but I would be quite shocked if Zach ends up. Yeah, I don't know. If he makes the opening day active roster, I think that's a huge win for him. I really do. Rich has said it on this podcast. Connor said this on this podcast. I don't know, man. That I think the Jets babied Zach a lot, and I think that, like, a lot with a lot of situations and publicly. I know, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know whether a lot of other situations where a player, whether people want to believe Diana or not, it happened and said, "I'm good. Like, I don't want to play it this week."
Right.
And he got his job back. That's how bad the other situation around him. And
yep.
There's just a lot that happened, and I felt like, even early on, not being liked, reportedly not being able to be coached hard by Mike LaFleur, and didn't like the way he was being coached, and it wasn't kind of all kiss-assy from the Jets offensive coordinator. And I guess that's to a detriment. LaFleur ended up losing his job. Of course, he's doing well elsewhere, but, the two guys that he ripped the most, three guys he ripped the most were Becton, you know, Moore and Wilson, and all three guys are not going to be on the Jets, obviously, or already are or will not be on the Jets in 2024. All have had really disappointing careers, in my opinion, for various reasons. So I just look back and I look back at that draft, and, you know, you look back at that quarterback class. It's Trevor Lawrence, who's good. He's a good player.
Not as good as we thought.
Yeah, he's not. I don't think he's, at least not yet. Maybe it'll change. Right. I think he's a good player. He's a good quarterback. I take him on the Jets, obviously, right? Like, he's still 24, 25 years old and on a rookie deal, but he's nothing that's been that special. Justin Fields, I think, has been worse than advertised, and I think that people will probably see it pretty quickly here that he's an electrifying player again, a guy that the whole debate of Fields and Zach was always a fun Jets Twitter debate early on, and Zach had better passing numbers, barely, and Fields had these amazing running highlights and things. That's like, I kind of understood why Bears fans, I felt like, were similar to Sam, where they, we no way we were gonna end up with this guy, and then you end up with him, and he has these insane like moments where like truly top five on SportsCenter type plays. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like Zach had a lot of that. I feel like there was the Titans game. We think of a couple of moments. We think of you know, the two Chiefs drives, one of which, you know, whatever.
Like the Buccaneers game, his rookie year, that was his most complete game. And he never matched it again.
And he fucked it up at the end and literally lost the game because he bottled it in the huddle.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, like, that was kind of Zach in a nutshell. You kind of always left you wanting more. I just think that, and I've said this before, and I don't want to, there's no reason to shit on him, obviously, right? I think the damage has been done here. But I think just solely blaming the Jets because of the Jets is unfair. Again, are the Jets perfect? No, I've heard things like that they haven't necessarily, they didn't necessarily always do the best job of coaching him. I think we all know that, and in terms of maybe setting him up, you know, schematically in terms of different things and all that stuff. No, it's fair. And we've all outlined that, but it was an abject failure. He's one of the worst draft picks in NFL history, let alone Jets history. I think that getting rid of Zach, and just for both sides, obviously, but from the Jets side, that the new uniforms, it's just these little things that maybe it's just mental, but for me, I'm like, just wipe the slate clean. You get rid of like all this, the stench of the last couple of years, the last 5 years really, and what's gone on. And I'm just going into a Patriots game with without Zach Wilson playing quarterback for a second straight. You know, it sounds horrible, but like Trevor Siemian, even in the snow, I was like, oh, they're going to beat the Patriots just because it wasn't a rookie quarterback. It, you know, it's true. And look what happened. They finally
and
did
we
it,
were so still referring to Zach as a rookie 3 years in.
And 35 starts in. He's got 24, you know, total touchdowns.
I want to hit on something you mentioned earlier. So like you said, you know, that he quit on the team and people felt that, and it was crazy and he got his job back and all that. Like, the whole situation is insane.
Oh, it's insane.
I think there are people out there who are going to say, well, of course he quit on the team. They benched him for Tim effing Boyle. Right. And so like, okay, let's explore that for a second. Right. What did he do to get benched for Tim Boyle? Because that was not public pressure alone. If it was public pressure, then everybody needs to be fired. And so I think we can safely assume that it was not public pressure alone that led to let's give Timmy Boyle a shot, right? So like, if we're going to pull that thread on like, well, of course you would quit on the team too if you got benched for Tim Boyle, like, okay, but let's explore what happened before
looking in the mirror is not the worst thing either.
Right.
Yeah, no, so. I just think this year was the, for people that still had hope for Zach, and, you know, look, I hoped before the year, I said, hey, can he just be a middle-level starter and, you know, have a Baker Mayfield this year for the Jets, and that'd be amazing, where it's like, don't do too much, don't mess it up, and just, you know, you earn your job. So he was never going to be a Jet after this year, I felt like. Rodgers sold that story publicly because it made Rodgers look like a good guy on Hard Knocks, and it made the Jets look good. That was never a realistic option. There was never a shot. The one thing, final thing I'll say with Zach is I'm very curious how he will fit in the locker room in Denver, because, you know, I just, the Broncos just went through this with Russell Wilson, and very different scenarios, but a lot of similar, like, you have a lot of preconceived notions about you, and there's a lot of the hype that comes with you, and there's a lot of media, there's a lot of these different things. Again, very different scenarios, but it will be interesting to see what happens there, because
you're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Maybe it goes smooth and, you know, tail between your legs. Hey, this is what happens. I feel the same way about some of the stuff in Pittsburgh with Fields and Russell Wilson, right? Like, yep. A lot of these, how do you come in the locker room?
That's the only way to handle it. You have to go in tail between your legs. That's the only way you can succeed.
Yeah. No. And honestly, like, whatever happens with Zach, I hope for his own sake, he does well, right? I think you never want to wish a player badly. I just have a really tough time seeing. I don't know. Like, if you're not beating out Jared Stidham for a backup, because the Broncos are going to draft a quarterback in this draft, right, whether it's Knicks or Penix, or they try to move up. Final couple things here before we wrap, and then we'll have a much longer episode the morning of the draft. As I mentioned, Paul had his episode out, you know, yesterday, so make sure you guys check that out on the Badlands feed. Monday morning, every single person that covers the Jets, they're going to go get a pass catcher, and they're going to trade up. Does that scare you? Does that make you excited? How are you feeling 72 hours out now? Pretty much exactly 72 hours from the draft open up. How are you feeling before we wrap up here?
Well, I'm feeling better than my son, who's screaming in the background, who you could probably hear. I don't believe that they're trading up. I just don't believe it. There's too much. This is lying week, and there's too much out there to make me feel like it's real. I think Belichick said something the other day that the only information you can trust is the information that comes out from like 12 hours before the draft starts on. And like everything else before that is a little bit untrustworthy. So in the hypothetical that it does happen, I feel great about that. Like, I would love to see this administration do something dynamic to change the team right now and also build for the future, right? And whether that's, you know, I'm like in love with Joe Alt, but like if we're talking pass catcher, like if you go up and get one of those three dudes, like that's invigorating, that's exciting. And then you have your work cut out for you the rest of the draft. Like, you better not miss on any of your other picks, right? So like it kind of raises the bar for everything, because you're going to go up and you're going to invest to get that kind of can't miss guy, but then you got to make sure you hit on everything else too, because there are other holes that this team needs filled. So I'm excited at least the talk of maneuverability and like the possibility that they can make a big move like that, and whatever ends up happening, whether it's up, down, staying at 10, trying to recoup a second some other way, like however it shakes out, I'm just excited at the prospect that we are going to attack the draft instead of just sitting on our heels, getting caught flat-footed and picking an edge that is not going to play year one, right? Like, I don't think that's going to happen again. So it's exciting.
Yeah, look, I think there's two schools of thought here, I think. There's one that the pessimistic Jets fan, and in some senses you will play this role of that in this scenario, it's probably like they're leaking this so that Friday night can come, their Friday morning, and the Jets tried to trade up at 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. They couldn't do it. Someone else outbid them. Oh my God, they were in for Marvin Harrison. They didn't get him. There's also the reality that that could very well happen. And I don't know that they go up to 5. I would be thrilled. I brought this up 2 months ago. I thought it was the perfect opportunity, all these different things. My gut is still ate it with Atlanta. I've been talking about it for forever. It feels obtainable. It feels realistic. It doesn't feel far-fetched or needing 18 things to happen. They need one guy to fall, and that's it. And again, where they need two guys, whatever it may be. So I still think...
And Atlanta's a willing partner because they don't need anybody in the top 10.
A willing partner that is going to pick up extra draft capital by drafting the exact same player two picks later. My gut is still Rome to Jetta on Thursday night at like 9:30 in the night, and we're kind of doing a live pod, excited. I hope I'm right. Transparently, I hope they end up with a receiver. But I think it's the most likely scenarios as of 8:03 on Monday night is Rome Odunze, Troy Fontenot, and then Brock Bowers third, I think is how I would power rank it. Obviously, it remains to be seen. I'll have another episode out Thursday morning again, see what things change. Rich Shimini was on the pod last year and predicted edge rusher at 15 and everyone, or whatever they were at 13, and everyone shit all over him on my pod, and he ended up being right. So I'll try to have something good in store for this year. Obviously, appreciate you for listening. The video.
One more thing.
Yeah. Rip this.
I got a hypothetical for you. I didn't prep you for this beforehand. Who starts more games this year, Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson?
Sam. I think that Minnesota, even if they end up with a first round quarterback, don't think they start him right away. It's my gut. I think they go look what the Packers have done. We're going to try this approach. I think Sam plays well enough to earn himself a similar role again next year somewhere else. And I think Zach Wilson he has an interesting moment in the preseason and is a borderline roster guy that may or may not make the team. And if he does, he'll somehow start against the Jets. We all know that's going to happen in MetLife. But until then, I think it's an easy Sam. Who starts more games this year, Geno Smith or Sam Darnold? Could be an interesting one because there's a lot of weird Seahawks quarterback stuff that Schefter, did the Seahawks take a quarterback? I was like, wait, what? And there was a lot of like, they're not cutting Geno. And I was like, why were they cutting Geno in the first place? Like, where did that come from?
Like, I didn't think they were until you said it.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not doing this. Well, no one said you were. Like, very odd. Obviously, as we're recording this, Knicks are on right now. Islanders are on. Thursday night will be a crazy night. Islanders, Knicks as well. Rangers tomorrow. Yanks and Mets.
And we'll
will
have
be on.
Both on at the draft party.
We will have as well both as on. The draft. Make sure you guys get your draft party tickets. It'll be a lot of fun. I'll be there. Paul will be there. Joe will be there. Meegs, I think DA maybe. A lot of fun stuff. Appreciate everybody for listening. I will be back on Thursday. Enjoy the rest of your guys' evening.